Welcome to Center Maryland's The Lobby. I'm Damian O'Doherty. We're really blessed to have a few guests with us today. Camille Fesch with one of the finest lobbying and law firms that Maryland really has to offer. The Rifkin firm is what I know it as. Camille, what's the latest incarnation? I know you got Arnold Weiner over there, one of the best litigators in the world, and practiced with my granddaddy. I got to see him in court. Talk to me a little bit about your firm.
Well, Damian, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. We go by the Rifkin firm, or RWL, Rifkin, Weiner, Livingston. It's been an incredible for my career to join this firm. It's top-notch lawyers and consultants across the board. We have a top-notch government relations division, and our team members hail from all different parts of the state with all different sorts of backgrounds, which lends all sorts of different strengths to the team. The litigation department, with Alan Rifkin, has just taken on some tremendous cases. They've done a lot of great work, a lot of marquee names. And we've recently brought in a new partner, Rita Piel, who is doing the corporate division. She's really working hard on really figuring out how to help businesses that are developing and growing in Maryland. And it's really exciting, the work that she's doing. So we've got a couple of new partners that recently came on, which is extremely exciting. So yeah, it's a great time to be a member of the firm, and we're busy and off to the races during session. So it's every day. I can't believe we are as busy as we are, and then it keeps getting busier. So delighted to be here. Thank you.
We are also blessed to have Josh Kurtz, who is the publisher of Maryland Matters. I think so many of us are grateful for the chutzpah and daring that Josh showed to create an authentic journalism site for Maryland politics, public affairs, and governance. Welcome, Josh. Talk to me about how you're doing, how your team is doing, and how you are managed to delivering so much great journalism, not content. There's a big difference. So much journalism to Marylanders.
Well, thanks for having me on, Damian. And I apologize for the mask, but I'm in a public room in the Senate office building in Annapolis. So I feel obligated to wear one, though really nobody's around.
And thanks. You're in the lobby.
Yeah.
You're in the lobby.
Right. And thanks for your kind words. This has been this is something we'll get into, but this has been a uniquely challenging session to cover, just because everything just about is virtual. I'm here in Annapolis today because there is going to be a Senate floor session in a while. The House is going to start up with their floor sessions the week of February 8th. So there is going to be some more action and activity, but it's just been a major challenge for everybody.
Jessica Feldmark, the delegate from both Howard County and Baltimore County. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us in between your crazy hearing-laden schedule.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It is a session like no other. Obviously, doing things virtually has been an interesting twist, but it is the bill drop deadline for the House today. So it is a busy day. Just got out of a voting session, have a bill hearing this afternoon, and still have a couple bills to run over to the hopper. So,
Delegate Feldmark, you are known as a very experienced problem solver in government. The legislature now fortunate to have your skills at the ready. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you're balancing the leadership's of the General Assembly's legislative load, and then perhaps your own constituents and in-district concerns with the legislature?
Yeah, so I think it is an interesting balance. I think in terms of constituent needs and concerns, this year very much closely aligned with leadership priorities in terms of COVID response and recovery. And, you know, on the healthcare side, on the business support, on the individual support, obviously that's a top priority. And the bulk of the work we're getting in terms of constituent service. And I think it's also sort of as we were gearing up for session and starting to see how priorities would emerge, most of the legislation that I was working on fell in the sort of everything else category, and so it's a tough year for everything else because there are so many kind of hot topic priorities. But a couple of my bills, I think, are not directly COVID response, but going to be really important. I've got a couple of bills related to community college funding. And I think as we come out of this, a lot of folks are going to be turning to our community colleges, both traditional students looking for a more affordable college option, and a lot of our displaced workers, right, who are going to be looking for career training and professional development to get back into the workforce. So, and I'm very excited that while I was in my Ways and Means voting session just before we came on, the Appropriations Committee was also in a voting session, and my CADE formula fix bill got out of committee. So happy to see that moving forward.
Camille, so much of the joy of being in this state legislature is you have two places to point when things go wrong. You can point to the local government when there's some kind of out of control development project that nobody's happy with, or you can point to the federal government if there's a big problem here, on anything from vaccines to what have you. But in Maryland, we've got issues with unemployment insurance. We've got issues with vaccines. You got issues all across the board. It seems like the legislature is very actively trying to pursue some of the solves in those areas. Is that unique or sort of standard de rigueur?
Yeah, what you said is true. There's a lot of places to point, but I'll tell you, our clients generally point directly at us. And in government relations, we work hand in hand with the legislature, and we have a lot of the same goals as the legislators, in that, you know, we're all Marylanders. We really are depending on Marylanders to be healthy and to be able to be well-educated and to have good paying jobs to make sure that we have a functioning economy and flourishing corporations. It's a symbiotic relationship. So it is very important to us that the legislature is taking up issues. And I think this session, everything has to deal with COVID. Everything comes down to COVID, the economy, the health of individuals, the way in which businesses are operating or have had to pivot on a dime to find new ways of operating. I mean, just the lobbying corps alone, we used to always be in the lobby, literally in the lobby. And now we, no member of the public is allowed in the complex and in the State House complex. And that means we've had to completely pivot our business to be almost 100% virtual. And to be able to do that in the span of a couple of days when the pandemic was shutting everything down in last March, I mean, that's a real testament to how businesses are doing it. And I mean, we feel for our clients. We represent a lot of small businesses and alcohol manufacturing, and just the way they've had to pivot tremendously, represent some schools in higher education and how they've had to flip immediately to online education, but then bring students back to campus when it's appropriate for things that cannot be done online. So we appreciate, and every day the statistics are changing, whether or not we're getting vaccines, whether or not there are variants, what the weather is doing. So we appreciate how difficult it is for the legislature to have to pivot and to have to really handle all of these extremely complicated issues in a collaborative way and to move very quickly on them. So I hope that answers your question, but it is a lot. And I miss being in the lobby. I miss seeing everyone every day. It's kind of, it almost feels like when you go back to college and everyone's there and you get to say hello to everyone. When I catch them on a text message or a phone call, and it's just not the same.
Some of the ritual is definitely missing. Josh, I'm going to do my best Don Mohler here. Talk to me about what it's like to wake up in the morning as a publisher of Maryland Matters. Many journalists, you've got a good bevy of journalists there, last I checked. you know, what kind of conversation are you having them with at the start of the day or the beginning of the week to get them out there and pursuing the angles and the interests that, that you as somebody who's been so experienced with this thinks is critical to the conversation? How do you, what's that sound like?
Well, it's the conversation used to be, where do you need to be physically? Now the conversation is, you know, what do you need to be watching? Who do you need to be talking to? Just as the pandemic has changed how Camille does her business and how Delegate Feldmark does her business, it's changed ours too, because during a legislative session, you want to be just there and floating around and talking to people, and you get as much news and intel just talking to people as you do in a committee session or a floor session. So the conversations now are sort of, you know, what are the critical things, you know, the things we know that are coming, the press conferences, the hearings, the floor sessions, but then also, you know, how can we add context? Who do we need to talk to? And, you know, without the benefit of being able to float around and talk to people, I'm telling my reporters, imagine that you're in Annapolis and think about who you might run into. And maybe after you've listened to a hearing, make 3 or 5 phone calls to the people you might run into. But still, it's, you know, as I said before, it's a challenge. And I'm sure everyone on this panel would agree.
Delegate Feldmark, how much screen time can you estimate that you are enjoying in your role?
How much am I enjoying?
How much screen time? I should ask that a little more open-ended. How much screen time are you doing, Delegate Feldmark?
I would say too much, but it's not. It's just, it's what we have to do our job, right? And you know, yes, it is tiring looking at a screen all day. You sort of, you don't get the same energy out of the conversations, you know, but we've got work to do and we've got technology to help us do it. And, you know, a long committee hearing is a long committee hearing, whether you're sitting at your desk in the room or sitting at your desk looking at your computer, you know. And I do think, you know, as much as we miss the sort of camaraderie that comes with the sort of normal session and all the energy of people being together at Annapolis, I think it's really important that we make sure our constituents know that we are still here and we are still accessible. And yes, it is different, but a phone call or a Zoom meeting really are always available. And I think people need to, you know, keep remembering and keep reminding each other that the opportunity for communication is still there.
I always think of in my role, I'm older than most on the call here, and the way politics was done when I was coming up, you know, it had a lot to do with just showing up in the room. Oftentimes that room would be a bar or a tavern or a fundraiser. None of that's going on. So for me, it's been a great benefit because I'm able to sort of get those distractions and sometimes destabilizing distractions out of my professional experience. I wondered, Camille, if you have had any sort of sunny sides to this experience from a professional standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. A lot of times, what is the old saying? Showing up is 80% of the job or 80% of success in life. And a lot of times, particularly in like health and government operations, if we were all in the room, we could just meet in the room and you'd have all the stakeholders there literally for hearings. Now it's a matter of tracking down people. In fact, I even realized that there are people whose cell phone I never had because I would just run into them. So I never ended up getting their cell phones because I would run into them every time. I just, you know, wait an hour or two, wander by a particular committee, and there would be the person I needed to see. So that was a change. The upside is, I don't know. I mean, I miss seeing everyone. I miss being in person. Not having to drive around is an upside, I would say. Getting to spend a little bit more time with my toddler, I think, is a bit of an upside. But I will say that sitting in front of a computer is, it's hard. I want to say we're extremely fortunate that we have the ability to sit in front of a computer and do our work from home. So we're extremely blessed and fortunate right. to do that. So I want to put that out there. I can't complain too much about it.
That's
but
important.
You do lose a lot when you don't get to see everyone and see them in person and feel the energy in a room, which is kind of, you know, disappointing. But we're trying our best, and we know that if we move forward and we stay safe, we'll get through this as fast as possible.
Those are all the Annapolis bartenders texting me that there's still 25% capacity and I can join them at any time, I'm sure. Sorry for the distraction. Josh, you've seen some pretty incredible changes. The Capitol lost their newsroom during the pandemic, the same newsroom that was essentially shot up just a couple years ago. The Baltimore Sun making significant reductions in staffing and really relying on the incredible, intrepid work of their state house correspondent, Pam Wood. Mm-hmm. What is it like to try to be funding and publishing, a real journalism effort as some of the biggest names in the business have been falling by the wayside? Are you sort of a rally? For me, you're a rallying point. You know, do you get that vibe from anywhere else?
Well, there's no doubt that people in this universe appreciate and really depend on our coverage, and that's really gratifying. And, I hate to see the misfortune of any publication in this state or anywhere. I mean, I really grieve for all of them, but it does present us with an opportunity. Could I say we're as financially stable as I'd like us to be? No, I mean, that would be a lie, but I mean, we're hanging in.
I think a lot of people may not know, how they can help you out. If you support journalism and you're a lobbyist in the lobby, or your trade association, those folks can reach out to you and talk to you about how they might be able to support some of the journalism you're providing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we're a nonprofit, and we kind of follow, roughly speaking, the NPR model. And so we rely on, some foundation support and a lot of individual support. And the support we've gotten has been really gratifying.
Delegate Feldmark, have you noticed sort of the absence of the media in your time in Annapolis, or sort of a degradation of it? Or are you feeling that there's some meat on the bone there that is nourishing the community?
So I think, I think the more we have, the better, right? So I don't think, I don't want to say we don't need more, but I do think that the journalists who cover us do a good job. And I think the dynamic of this virtual session, I mean, the House will be, meeting in person on the floor, but we haven't really started that yet. We will Monday. I definitely feel the lack of presence of journalists, media that we would run into just throughout the day. I know they're, Josh and his team and others are still doing the work. So.
And you're an interesting, I always say Howard County, now I know you represent Baltimore County as well, but Howard County is very unique because it has, I think, the highest sort of online penetration of almost any community in Maryland, if not the country. In other words, more people have access to online in Howard County than almost anywhere. You've seen the Meriwether Post is a new publication that's online. You have the Howard County Progress Report. How do you balance your interaction or your reading with those kinds of publications that are new versus some of the more established ones? I get to say this, Justin. Some of the more established ones like Maryland Matters and The Sun.
Well, I mean, I think they're different models. And I think, they're certainly it's good to have more voices in the forum, and I think we need to, as a as a media consumer, right? And as a news and information consumer, you have to look at who you're listening to and where you're getting your information. And you know, I do think I do appreciate the sort of growth in the number of voices. And I think we just need to make sure that we are discerning in our consumption, right? And I think that's a challenge for, you know, for everyone. It's more time consuming, right?
I agree with Delia Feldmark. I mean, I think in this day and age where there's so much information, so many Facebook posts, so many, my friend told me, my aunt's cousin's mother said, I think it's really important that there is robust journalism in the state of Maryland that's covering state and local politics. And I think it's extremely important that we support those newspapers or media, however that media, I use newspaper, but however that media outlet, whether it's solely online, whether it's in hardcover, whether it's on television, and really have voices that we know and trust that are doing quality work. Because that's where a lot of things come to light. And that's where we get a lot of our information and analysis. So, you know, I applaud Camille, what you do. Yes.
Camille, you know, one of the reasons you're here is because I noticed a piece of content that you did. And I just thought, you know, for me, I'm in communications. People give me a broad latitude to be myself because it would be even more torturous to endure something else. And they just let me go and do my thing and laugh or give me some credit if I do something right. You're in a trickier spot. You're with, like, you know, the preeminent lobbying and legal firm there in Annapolis. You know, it's not easy. It's no easier doing this stuff as a female professional, I would like to acknowledge. But you did something really cool. You did something with your alma mater at Johns Hopkins, and you had a very noted, distinguished professor. And then you also had Congressman Raskin, I think 2 weeks before, you know, he was in front of everybody's news screen across the country. And I just thought that was an incredibly well done effort that to get into the content game, but to do it with a trusted brand and to have real thought leaders. I just wanted to commend you on that and ask what's next for you in that regard, because I really encourage it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. As a graduate of Johns Hopkins undergrad, I'm very proud and I had a wonderful time at my alma mater in undergrad. And so I'm always looking for ways to give back. And until the day when I can name a building, the things I can do are work with the Alumni Association. And I was very fortunate that Representative Raskin was able to join and give his thoughts. This is in December. So it was a very different conversation than what would have happened a couple of weeks later. But the ability to talk with him and to have alumni from all over the world. We know that there's a lot of people in Maryland that are connected to Johns Hopkins through the hospital, the university, applied physics lab, whatever it is. But to give them the opportunity to have an open forum to speak and really dive into the issues, get away from just the sound bite or the tweet, but to really have the long form discussion, which I think a lot of times we're craving a deeper understanding of the issues, not just what happened today, but what is really going on? How does this fit into a larger context? How does this relate back to the constitutionality and what we do as a nation? And that to me is extremely compelling. Dealing that we work in law with one of the oldest legislatures in the country. How does this work? How does this fit into history? Where are we? And what are we trying to accomplish and move forward? So I was really honored that Representative Raskin was able to join for that, and I was able to be a part of it. So
you gave us all a little courage there. Thank you. You gave us all a little courage. Josh, how do we get more of you and your colleagues at Maryland Matters, you know, in sort of the video and audio, and I'd say analysis? Like, you know, I don't know that you all appreciate, you know, if the Sun and the Post did an okay job, I think, with Senate President Miller's passing. But I really thought it was a Bruce DePoit article and some other things that you put together that were more on the analysis side that were able to capture some of the great storytelling of Mike Miller. And I just love to learn how you all might provide more analysis to folks in this community.
Well, it's something we aspire to do. Sometimes we get caught up in just kind of the daily grind, so we aren't always able to do it as much as we'd like. You know, sadly, in the Miller situation, you could kind of anticipate that, you know, this news was coming. And so Bruce really was very disciplined about talking to a range of people over a period of months. And, you know, we sort of knew that this was coming and he had something half written. And then he was able to kind of turn around the piece he talked about pretty quickly. Certainly, we're always trying to elevate our profile. One of my colleagues is talking on WTOP today. You know, I'm doing this. I mean, there, you know, one nice thing is there are a lot of platforms for us now to appear on, and, you know, and we're always talking about ways to just sort of do a better job of marketing ourselves. So, I mean, it's, you know, we're still very young, so it's an ongoing process.
Delegate Feldmark, you have always been too gracious to me. I wonder if you couldn't do for the rest of the community what you've been able to do for me, and that is sort of set some boundaries and tell people. I think we'd love to hear as a delegate, and you're in your first term, going through this COVID experience. Like, what are some to-dos or to-don'ts if you're in the lobbying industry and or the public relations industry, and you want to talk to your delegate and you want to focus on your delegate, but not do so in a way that takes away from the rest of their public service. You have any tips for us in the game that maybe your colleagues would be a little too confidential or quiet to share, but some tips that I think we would all appreciate and most likely abide by?
Well, so I don't know how helpful this will be for, you know, sort of across the board, but since I have the chance to answer that answer for myself, you know, I think what I find most helpful from a lobbyist is an ability to have a conversation where we kind of can separate two levels, right? I understand you have a client and you're advocating for their interests. Now help me understand the issue, and then let's talk about their interests in relation to the issue, right? And if someone can make that distinction, I really value it, you know, and I will say some lobbyists are more willing to do that than others, right? Some are just like, these are my talking points. This is our position. This is all we, you know, and we're gonna keep drilling. If you're willing to take a step away from that and let's actually have a deeper conversation about the issue so that I can, you know, wrap my head around it and figure out what my position is going to be, then we can talk about where my position lines up with your clients. And if there's some, you know, some either negotiation or just kind of understanding from a different perspective. But I feel like that separation is something that some folks do really well and some don't. And given my style and preference, I think it's really valuable.
I agree wholeheartedly with the delegate. My father's a dentist, and he always would say, you know, you can't sell someone a root canal, even if they really need it, unless you first explain to them what's going on with the tooth. And then from there, you can advocate and explain why they need the root canal. And so I always apply that to lobbying, that first you have to educate, then advocate. And a lot of times every day we just spend so much time learning and learning and learning about subject areas and different nuances and laws and how things should be, but how they actually are. And so, I think to be really substantive in this world, you've got to start off with a conversation about the subject area and learning about it and be open to learning from the legislator's experience. A lot of times they have a lot more experience than we realize or we don't know about. And even they have a lot of creative solutions, and it's really coming up with solutions to potential issues. And so it's a lot of listening, a lot of education. And then the very end, then it's the advocating that, you know, hopefully you take the same position as my client. But I have a lot of respect for every legislator. Every legislator is the person that actually has to push the button, and they're the ones that are responsible and on the record for taking that vote. And if we go into it with having paramount respect for the legislators and the work that they're doing and the votes that they're taking and their accountability to their constituents, I think that's the place from which we have to start when we begin any conversation.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank all the frontline workers. I know I've had my own issues of frustration, whether it's trying to help the kid manage the online learning or going to the doctor or scheduling a dentist appointment. And my frustration, somehow I've been able to like turn it immediately into a sense of gratitude, probably because of some helpful podcasts. I just love to plug them and thank you. And on behalf of all of us, apologize if we ever got short. I think the moment we got back into our car, back off our phone, we realized that you've got 28 kids or you've got 15 patients in your role as a frontline operator. You got 11 bags to get out the door, grocery bags to get out the door. So just love to open it up. Last comments for anybody to share a thought or some praise. Josh, I'll go with you. You're not on mute.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I need to say this to your audience, Damian, and the folks watching this podcast, but I'm always struck by, and it's been particularly true over the last 4 years, how much the average person's attention is focused on national government, federal government, national politics, when there's so much, going on at the state and local level that's both interesting, different, and of course, really important in people's day-to-day lives. And that isn't even a backdoor way to say people should be reading Maryland Matters, but I really do think that there's a lot worth following at the state and local level.
Certainly the only place to get anything done. Camille, you have any thoughts?
I want to echo what you say and that we thank all the frontline healthcare workers and the scientists and the people in grocery stores that are really making our society function right now and really allowing us. They're putting themselves in danger so that we have the chance at survival and at thriving. So thank you to everyone. And we just pray every day that the vaccines roll out as fast as possible and that we can all be vaccinated and that we can all slowly move back into some semblance of normal. And hopefully in a year's time, we'll be back in the lobby.
Delegate Feldmark.
Well, I think I, echo what all of you have said. I think the pandemic has hopefully helped us see and pay attention to some of the really critical essential workers that we as a society have not focused on enough. And, we have, I think, done a great job through the pandemic in terms of sort of emotional and moral support, celebrating essential workers. And I am looking forward to putting that into policy support and really helping essential workers advance and enjoy thriving in Maryland.
Thank you. Thank you all. And while we're at it, thank you to the DGS police force. You are the people we're so used to seeing in the lobby and been so gracious and protective of us all. Just again, a final plug to all of them. I want to thank all of you, Camille Fesch from the Rifkin firm, Josh Kurtz from Maryland Matters, and Delegate Jessica Feldmark from the Patapsco River Valley District there in Baltimore County and Howard County. Thanks so much for joining us in the lobby. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Should be up Monday.